Hello, today is Thursday, September 7th, 2017. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. If you're a buyer of telecom services, you probably go to great lengths to size your service requirements correctly and to negotiate market competitive, if not market leading, rates for the services that you buy. One thing you likely don't do is spend a great deal of time assessing the impact that regulatory fees and surcharges will have on your costs because, well, first, you probably don't understand what they are, and second, you believe there's not a lot you can do to avoid paying them. As an example, AT&T recently increased one of its regulatory fees by 28%. Let's discuss this with two professionals that have a very good understanding of what these nasty fees are and what you can do to reduce their impact on your telecom budget. I'm joined by Deb Bowling, a senior partner at LB3, and my fellow TC2 project director, Teresa Knutson. Deb, let me start with you. What are some of the most costly regulatory fees for enterprises?
Joe, thanks for having me. And some of the most costly regulatory fees for enterprises and for individuals at home are the USF factor. The USF surcharge is the most truly characterized regulatory surcharge, and it's currently at 17.1%. That's 17.1% of all your interstate and international charges and even VoIP charges. The regulatory USF regulatory surcharge fluctuates, but it hovers somewhere between 16 and 20%, although when it started way back in 2000, it was only about 5%. So it is something that has increased significantly over time. Other regulatory charges come under different names, but they generally claim to recover specific types of cost imposed on carriers by the FCC. These costs are telecom relay services costs, local number portability costs, and Teresa will speak to those later on. While the FCC imposes these costs on carriers, the carriers are not required to collect them from their customers. By contrast, there are regulatory fees, such as 911 surcharges, that the FCC does require the carriers to collect from the customers and to pay to the FCC. The carriers also impose surcharges that are simply internal cost recovery unrelated to any telecommunications regulatory obligations. These are fees such as property taxes and administrative fees. They will nevertheless claim that they are regulatory fees because taxes are regulatory obligations. Be aware, it is sort of a smoke and mirrors on that one. And these non-regulatory related fees will add another 4 to 5% to the enterprise telecom bills.
So why are the service providers allowed to charge them?
Well, we're in a competitive market. About 15 years ago, the FCC held almost all interstate and international services were competitive. And good news for enterprise customers, the FCC did tariff the services. That meant the FCC would no longer analyze and approve prices and terms, and the market would determine them. Sounds good, right? Detariffing meant carriers could provide services on individually negotiated terms. That was great from an individual rate basis, but these surcharges become tricky. Today's FCC, particularly its new chairman, believes in relying on market forces instead of regulation. In a competitive market, the market is supposed to work, and the carriers and customers are supposed to work out any problems they have with these regulatory surcharges. In reality, carriers will not budge on the USF surcharges and are difficult on other regulatory fees and cost recovery add-ons. The FCC does, however, act in its self-interest. When the carriers were first required to pay to support the FCC's Universal Service Fund, they charged their customers more than the FCC contribution factor. The FCC got a bad rap. The USF was not a tax, and the FCC did not require the carriers to collect the USF contribution from their customers. This was a carrier move. To improve its image, beginning April 1, 2003, the FCC prohibited carriers from suggesting the USF line item on bills was required by the FCC. Carriers had to make it clear the USF line item was a carrier-imposed charge. This led carriers to develop new fee structures that would allow them to recover costs previously included in the USF charge. They separated the USF component from other regulatory fees and surcharges to recover their cost of complying with FCC and state regulation. The carriers continue to use this structure for regulatory-related costs and other costs.
So, Teresa, let me see if I have this right. It's possible for an enterprise that they could be charged different types of surcharges for the same service from different service providers?
Yes, that's correct. And not all carriers are equal, and each carrier actually has different names for essentially the same thing. At the opening, you mentioned that AT&T announced a 28% increase in one of its surcharges, and we're going to focus on that one today. That surcharge is what AT&T calls the federal regulatory fee. Verizon calls it a carrier cost recovery fee, and Level 3 calls it a cost recovery fee. So they're all the same thing, and they're basically a surcharge to help recover fees associated with providing hearing and speech impaired services. So basically the range is quite large too. So AT&T charges 5.25%, Verizon's 3.7%, and Level 3 is 4.25%. So there's quite a variability between the rates charged by the major suppliers. And underlying this, there is the TRS factor that surcharge supports is set by the FCC, and that factor is actually just under 2.3%. So the carriers are charging more than what is required by the FCC. But how they do this is in their definition, the service guide. They call it a fee associated with the recovery of TRS and local number portability administration. So their definition in the service guide gives them some wiggle room as to what they actually charge for this. They have the ability to set it themselves based on their service guide definition. And what's really interesting, Deb just found recently that the CenturyLink service guides notes they're combining their property tax fee and the federal regulatory fee into one thing. So keep an eye out for those on your CenturyLink bills. So what's really interesting as you think about this is that these fees are charged, and adding insult to injury is that the carriers actually charge USF on top of these fees. And so the carrier obligations are based on their revenues generated from telecom services, and these regulatory fees that they charge are revenue generating things. Therefore, you know, adding pain to this, you get another 17.1% on top of these fees that they charge.
So, Deb, you're the lawyer. How is this legal?
Well, Teresa's characterization is correct. I mean, the surcharges that the carriers collect are revenues for purposes of calculating the USF quarterly contribution factor. The higher the carrier's revenues that are reported, that results in a lower contribution factor. And for the carriers to break even, they have to apply the USF surcharge to the other surcharges. Now, the carriers don't have to break even because they don't have to impose this charge, but that is the way they do it. Unfortunately, the formulation that the carriers use mirrors that used by the FCC to determine the contribution factor. The carrier service guides are reasonably clear that the USF applies to the other surcharges, and the FCC isn't getting a bad rep, so caveat emptor. In today's market, however, enterprises may not be able to avoid the double whammy on surcharges, but they may be able to reduce the pain with offsetting price reductions.
So, Teresa, at the start of the podcast, I mentioned that most of our clients, most enterprises, they go to great lengths to properly size their service requirements, and they work really hard to negotiate competitive rates. But that really doesn't go far enough, does it?
You're right. Corporate customers need to be technically savvy about the network services they're purchasing, but they also need to understand the nuances related to the carrier's definitions and rates for these different surcharges. They're not all the same, and there's a huge variability between the carriers. So when you're assessing pricing offers, for example, in an RFP, you really need to look at a TCO or total cost of ownership model that factors in these surcharge differences. Based on just the FRF that we talked about earlier, with AT&T being at the highest at 5.25% and Verizon being the lowest, there's about a 1% difference there, so or a little 1.5% difference. So if you're spending $10 million a year, that's an extra $160,000 a year you would pay if you purchased those same services from AT&T versus Verizon. So that's one aspect to keep in mind. It is significant. I know that many of our very large customers spend multiples of $10 million a year on transport services. So understanding these nuances about the carrier surcharges is very important. And while AT&T may be higher on this one, they might be lower on another one. So you really need to look at the combination of all the different surcharges by carrier when you're assessing the cost of the bids.
All right. Well, thank you, Teresa. And Deb, thank you as well. I think both of you have done a great job of highlighting why enterprises need to put a bit more focus on regulatory fees and probably start challenging their service providers. I'd also like to thank you, the audience, for listening. If you're interested in learning more about other regulatory fees and surcharges, please let us know. We can host another podcast on each of these major regulatory fees and surcharges. And as is always the case, if you'd like to discuss other issues affecting your company, please give us a call.